Why listen to the past when you can listen to the future? Welcome to the Think Future podcast, broadcasting from deep in the heart of Silicon Valley, California. We focus on innovation, startups, and the future, not necessarily those and not necessarily in that order. Here's your host.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Think Future podcast. I'm your host, Chris Kalabukas, and once again, we're coming at you live from deep in the heart of Silicon Valley, California. It's episode 240, and today we're going to talk a little bit about risk. So, there was a friend of mine who was working for a company, and they were going through their objectives for the year. And you guys all know how this works. Basically, you sit down with your manager, and you come out with a number of objectives that you try to complete each year. And then at the end of the year, you're graded on whether or not you met those objectives. I wrote film with so many white papers, I did so many patents, I came up with so many new products, yada yada, something like that, right? So this company that was working for was in the middle of doing this process. And they were supposed to go in and there were some goals in that were automatically pre-mandated. And there were some goals that were like fill them out yourself, right? So for this particular company, every year they would go in and there was a set, maybe about 20-30% of goals, like leadership and management and all those sort of core skills that you feel that your employees must have. And then there was all the rest of it. It was like 70-80% of, okay, I'm doing this project, or I'm doing this, I'm creating these products, or I'm doing these patents, or I'm doing these innovation sessions, facilitations, et cetera, right? So every year they would go in and they would enter these things. So this year, for some reason, when they went into the tool to look at it, it was completely changed. And there was one major objective. One major objective that took up full 50% of their objectives. And then there was a 20% for leadership, and there was a few percentages for management. That left maybe like 20-30% for actual projects, actual patents, actual innovation, actual products, whatever they were going to build. So their entire, almost their entire set of objectives was preset at the beginning of the year, and most of it included risk. 50% of this person's job was managing risk. And what's really funny is that they were in an innovation group, and I'm sure it was the same across the board. But if you think about it, appetite for risk is sort of an inverse thing to the appetite for innovation, because risk is innovation. You can't innovate without risking, because if you don't risk anything, then you can never innovate. I mean, what can you innovate? You can't innovate. You could just maybe incrementally improve things, but without any kind of risk taking, without any kind of determination of whether or not you can do this thing or not, without any kind of pushing of the envelope outwards, how can you possibly innovate? And when you take a company and you make 50% of everybody's objectives to manage risk, then it becomes extremely difficult for you to do any kind of innovation other than sort of minor incremental innovations that never change. And then you've got this company's competitors not doing that, not taking that, taking the risks, doing new things, and stepping out of the box. So what happens? Who do you think is going to win this game? Is it the company that forces all of its employees to manage risk as 50% of the jobs, or the ones that are willing to go out on a limb, are willing to do something new, are willing to do something different, are willing to innovate? I don't know. What do you think? That's it for me for today. See you next time. And until then, don't forget to think future. Future.